January 19th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. We thank you for joining us for the LaPorte Church of Christ. I wanted to start off with a scripture that I just in light of everything that's going on from the inauguration to the chaos from the clashing of swords, that so to speak, that's happening. And I think it even ties in with the fires that we're seeing in California. And it's Psalms 43, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 before we go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against the ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling place. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Let us go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we say, oh, Lord, filter our prayers. We activate that prayer filter and we ask that you just make any and all necessary corrections to our prayers, as we don't want to be found blessing the ungodly and bringing the wrath of God upon ourselves. So we ask that you just do that, that you filter our prayers and you make them perfect before the throne of the Most High. We ask, Father, that and call for a working of the Holy Spirit as we do bring our prayers and petitions before you. O Lord Jesus, we come before you, and we come in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we lift up those that are battling the fires in California. And Father, we just pray for your hands to be present. Father, we pray that you save those that need to be saved, and let the buildings burn that need to be burned. And we ask, Father, that you make that decision. We ask that you do a mighty work, as we know that the enemy's hands are constantly at work. And Lord, we just lift them up to you, and we pray, let them be caught in their plots. Though they seek to steal, kill, and destroy, Lord, we pray that you foil their plans. We pray that you deal with them as you see fit, that you turn the fires and the flames back upon them. We pray, Father, as they continue to dig pits, we want them to be the ones that fall into those pits, and we want them covered up. We know that they continue to set snares and traps for your people, and Father, we want them to be the ones that are entangled in them. We pray that you deal with these terrors, these evil, wicked ones, as you see fit. We bring them before your throne, knowing that when we bring them before your throne, that you can justly give a judgment. And we ask that you do just that. Lord, we pray that you be with our people that are in California. We pray that you protect them, put a shield of protection around them, and keep them safe. Protect them from the fires and from the ungodly. Lord, we ask, Father, for those that are battling this cold front that's going across this country. Talked this morning to people that were without water and had frozen pipes. Lord, I pray, Father, that you be with your people across this land as we battle this cold, bitter cold snap that's coming through. We pray that you keep our people safe and that you protect them. We continue to just lift up this land to you, and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over it. And we ask, Father, that you continue to protect your people, continue to wake up your people to the truth of who they are and who our enemies are. Let us fight victoriously. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. Well, we're going to start off with a song, and I like the song. We haven't sung it as a congregational song in quite some time. It is House of Gold.
Steal, they cheat and lie for wealth and what it will buy. Don't they know on the judgment day that their gold and silver
my God, and do my soul. What good is gold and silver too, if your heart's not good and true?
And the message that Pastor Peters had this morning was the simple shibboleth and the sons of hell. And we got that message as a standalone message. I put it onto a DVD this week, and it's just, I think it's a good standalone message. There's so many different topics and so many different truths that he addressed in that. And we've also got a booklet, and we'll bring that on the screen. It is the simple simple shibboleth. It's a small booklet. It's available for a $2 donation. If you'd like that, we'll send it to you. And if you'd like the DVD, we'd like to send that to you too. I think it's a really good one, an evangelical passing out tool that may be useful for some people. And as the announcements go, we did get the Dragon Slayer Newsletter magazine sent out in the mail to you earlier this week. It went out, we got it out in the mail on Friday, so you should be, by the end of this week, you should be receiving that in the mail, hopefully. You know, they call it snail mail for a reason, so it might be the next week before it starts showing up. But do appreciate it when you do let us know when you get it and where you're getting it. It's volume one of 2025, Knowing Your Enemies, and continuing to go on with the theme that I really think that is pertinent to the times and the days that we're living in. So, and if you're not receiving that newsletter, just shoot me an email and give me your name and your address. Write us a note, drop it in the mail, smoke signals, whatever you want. Give us a call. We'll get you on that list. We've got a lot of people that have been wanting to get on that, and we've been getting it updated and getting them shipped out. Do appreciate the support for getting that getting that out. I do appreciate your prayers. I know that talked to several people, and they were very excited about us getting 12 newsletters out last year. And it was not an easy task, but set a goal, and through the Lord's help, we got her done. And that was a blessing, and we do thank you for your prayers and your support in these matters. I don't have a whole lot of time this morning. We got a message by Brother Zach that'll be coming up here in just a minute, and we're going to go a little bit over the top of the hour, but that's okay, and then we'll be back for communion. But its title is Christ's Blood is Thicker Than Family Blood. And boy, I know this one real good. My dad used to always tell me, you know, blood's thicker than water, and you stick with your blood. And I changed that quite some time ago, changed it to Christ's blood is thicker than family blood. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that will understand this topic. And it's something that, you know, a lot of just about every person that I've spoken with that's part of the body of Christ or part of the remnant has experienced. And we'll have that coming up right about now.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, January 19th, 2025. I haven't been with you guys for a while. I doubled up on a couple of sermons. And I was supposed to bring a live sermon to you last week, or a Sunday morning sermon to you last week, but I got overwhelmed with stuff, and I wasn't able to be with you. So this is actually the first time I said 2025. So if I misspeak myself in the next couple lessons, I apologize. Kind of hard to get into that groove, as you all know. But we are going to start by defining who Jesus Christ is. And that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is the definition of God, of Jesus Christ. The Word that became flesh, he was the Word and is the Word, and the Word was God and is God. That's why it's so important to know the Word. That's why we are sticklers about reading it. That's why we're sticklers about defining it properly, because we do not want to be those false prophets, those false preachers that promote the false Christ. We believe in our father Abraham, and we believe that he fathered a multitude of nations through Isaac and Jacob that became Israel, and then later formed a multitude of nations after the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. And that some of those Israelites from the tribe of Benjamin and Judah was allowed back into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple to usher in our King, Jesus Christ, who is brought here to pay the wedding debt, to release Israel from that law. That is the Jesus Christ that we promote. That is the biblical Jesus Christ. That is Old and New Testament that I'm referring to. And those of you that are out there that are highly educated, more educated than I am, know that I am not speaking lies to you on that narrative of who Jesus Christ is. And for those of you that are new and have just showed up, know that we are not a racist group of people. We do not believe that only Israelites can make it into heaven, or that cannot be entered into the, or they only Israelites can be in the assembly. No, we do not believe that. And the reason why we do not believe that is because of biblical law. Aliens are among you, as it says in the law. If they obey the law, then they're allowed into the assembly. Now they have different things. They're not allowed to take women and this and that. And as it says in the proverb or in the prophets, those that uphold his Sabbath and lend an ear to his law, God will actually put them in a higher place. And I'm a firm believer that the reason why the world is in such a mess that it isn't as it is in today is because Israel does not promote the proper Jesus. And that is what we are here to do. That is the job that this ministry has and a few others have. And I don't really know a whole lot about the other ministries. I'm not going to throw them under the bus. I don't know if they throw us under the bus. If they do, I simply don't care. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do, and that is to project the Word of God as accurately as I can. And if I fumble, I promise you, I will let you know that I fumbled. That's one of the things that I always loved about Pastor Peters. Whenever he fumbled, he always said, "I messed up." And he was the first one to bring it up, and I always appreciated that about him. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to talk about our foundation and our loyalty towards one another, and the ingredients that are supposed to exist in our mind, and how we look at one another, how we look at non-Christians, how we look at, you know, how do we handle them? Like, who do we hold? How do I want to put this? Close friends that are not brethren, because we all have them, family members. And the biggest thing is, do we hold ourselves to the standard that God expects us to in order to be acceptable by our fellow Christian brethren? Now, because I'm big on holding yourself accountable. And we're just going to kind of look at that a little bit today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. There's going to be a lot of reading today. I'm going to start in verse 8. You know, I really got to get some glasses, guys. Like, this is getting insane. I'm going to start in verse 18. For Christ also died for sins once for all, just for the unjust, once and for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. I'm going to stop right there. Those who were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. Well, let me back up to verse 18. So those spirits, they're now in prison. those people from the days of Noah and before, they're now in prison. They're dead. Their time has come. And that was in the flood. And now they're in prison. God had patience for them, but only eight was brought through the flood safely. There's only eight that actually believed in what the Lord God said. Now, when you look at all these preachers out here, they're preaching this fake gospel. Many believe what they say. You look at our numbers, even though we're more highly educated, meaning we're more well-versed biblically, how many actually believe what the Word of God says? Not that many. So right there, you know we are a special group. I continue. Verse 21. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What have we said before? Baptism is a representation of death. You're burying the old body. But it says here it saves you. Don't let anybody ever tell you you have to accept Jesus into your heart. That's garbage. Okay? Acts 2:38. It says it in Romans. It says it here in 1 Peter chapter 3. Baptism saves you. Because what are you doing? You're creating a new belief system. You're creating a new law structure that you are going to live by. Do we always live by it? By every little dot? No. And key? And no, we don't. We do fail. But our belief system, well, for one, we recognize what sin is, which is a violation of the law of God. So we're putting, which the other ones say the law is done away with, so there's no belief system. They just think everything God does, this is like me and Richard were talking about earlier, before we started recording this, you know, God does everything, we ain't got to do squat. Well, that's not true. We have to promote God's political system in our lives, in our families' lives, in our ministry, and we have to promote it in the land. Do you remember last summer, did the sermon? I didn't even read the Bible. I just read Public Law 97-280. All based on the Bible. This country is all founded on the Bible. You can't rely on some president to bail you out. We got one coming tomorrow. You can't rely. He's not going to do it. It's the Word of God that's going to do it. It's his law and his political system. Let me read that again. So corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you're able to be baptized because of the actions of what Jesus Christ did, because he died, was buried, and rose again. And we believe that. And that is why we are baptized. Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. So that right there tells you that Jesus Christ is running the show. All bad is happening because he allows it. All good is happening is because he allows it. All deception is because he allows it. If you don't want to listen to the Bible, then he will send a deluding influence on you. As it says in the prophets of old, the one prophet was talking to the king, and he said, well, the spirit came to God and said, I will go and deceive him. And God said, good, go do it. If you're not going to hold the Word of God in your heart and obey it and listen to it and think that it's the truth, then God was going to have a great time deceiving you. So he's the boss. 1 Peter chapter 3, 22, everything is subject to him. Authorities, that's the government, and powers have been subjected to him. Been like that for 2,000 years. He's the boss. Chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So this is the fabric that binds each and every one of us together. We don't live according to what we want, our own desires. We live according to the will of God. What's the will of God? His political system. Righteousness. Justice for all. Executing judgment for wickedness. That is his will. You want to know his will, you want to know his statutes and judgments, read his law. That is his will. His will is for everybody to comply with his will. That's his will. But will everybody do it? No, they won't. But this is the fabric that binds all of us together. Like I said, you've heard me say it before. Jesus is the head, but the church is the body. Jesus is the word. Each and every one of us needs to know the word. Then what that means, we all know what each other is thinking. For the most part, now are we going to agree on every little thing? No. It's irrelevant. But general scheme of maneuvers, we should all be on the same page. Verse 3 of chapter 4. For time already past is significant for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. So you got all your wild oats sowed. Time to get to work. Time to get down to business. Each and every one of us. And each and every one of us needs to be looking at each other like, is that your game? Because in reality, when you look at your Christian brothers, if we all are motivated by the will of God, then that means we have family members that are non-Christians. Who is more important? Who is who should be taken care of first? Your Christian brother or your family member or good friend that is out of the will of God? Have you been acting in a way to where a Christian brother would gladly step in and help you? Because if you're acting trying to live in the will of God, then you have a standard that you need to pass. Not just one time, every day. So it's kind of like the Gideon elite when they're looking at each other, not trusting each other, needs to be the same. We got to get that Gideon mentality that Pastor Peter's pounded in our heads back into our minds. having pursued a course of sensualities, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries, all of this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. And they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So, these non-believers, they're going to give an account. Now, I'm not saying you don't help them, but I'm just saying, who's more important? Is the health of the body basically what I'm talking about? Our mentality should be focused on the health of the body of the church. You can only control you. I understand that. But give good advice. Our first priority needs to be the body. Am I 100% not guilty of my first choice or my first concern? I'm guilty of not being concerned about the body all the time in my Christian walk. And I'm sure you guys out there are as well. But as what I'm saying, we need to be concerned about it. We need to be concerned about each other. Because the times that are coming, like, I know everyone's all super pumped about the new president coming in. Personally, I don't give a rip. You know, when January 6th of 2000 or 2001, whenever it was, I didn't care. Like, I literally watched all that stuff go to, actually, I watched that. News. It is, most of you would consider it embarrassing on my knowledge of current affairs, but I simply don't care. I don't care. I don't care what's going on out there. I care about one thing, about being a savage, being a successful business person, and promoting the ministry. Other than that, actually, I'm promoting the actions of the ministry. Other than that, I don't give a rip. Maybe I should. I don't know. I don't know what's coming over me. I used to be all into the news and wanted to know what's going on. I just don't care. Yeah, I know what it is. I sit there and I listen to, I see all these people. They're all worried about what's going on, you know, and like, I've started a business. And I have people that are under me, and I have people that rely on my decisions, my sales, and all this and that in order to keep their households going and profitable so that way they can pay all their bills. And when you get into a position like that, you sit there and you listen to all these people worry about politics. They're all a bunch of lazy guys. They're all a bunch of lazy suckers. They're all like, ain't nobody going to come and save you. Ain't nobody going to come and save you. You get out there and you get after it and get some. I'm too busy getting some to worry about what the heck Biden's doing, to worry about what the heck Trump is doing. I don't care. Because I got to get some. Because if I don't, then it all goes down and other people suffer. And I'm not going to let that happen on my watch. That's why I don't care. Too busy actually going out there, not paying attention to politics, actually learning the tax code, realizing that 90% of the stuff I was taught was garbage, and getting it. But we have to keep these principles. You know, I guess this is what I'm trying to say, like all the politics and stuff, who cares? Promote God's politics. That's our job. Period. And if Biden don't want to abide by him, ax him. Trump don't, ax him too. Judeo-Christians don't want to, God, don't give them any money. Don't give them any of your attention. If they don't have your attention, they have zero power over you. That's just my thinking. I might be wrong. I'm wrong. Somebody let me know. I really don't hear anything. Jason probably blocks a lot of stuff from me. I mean, even if I didn't know, I still wouldn't care. But anyways, where was I at? Verse 4 of chapter 4. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same access dissipation that they, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. I'm going to stop. I got one more back to what I was talking about. What they dole out is ordered by Jesus Christ for the disobedience of his word. And it is our job to point that out as a body. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go back. I promise. Maybe I will. I don't know. Verse 6. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead. Those are the ones that don't listen. Those are the ones that don't listen. That they are judged in the flesh as men, that they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. There you go. You got to know his will, his law. We already talked about that. And that's what we are to do. Live according to the will of God. Each and every one of us and our brothers, and we have to protect each other. Verse 5, above all, keep fervent in your love for one. There it is. There it is. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. So this has to be a community thing. You get the right mindset to love one another. Do you love, you know, you love your neighbor as yourself, but we're talking about baptized believers here. They're special. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Love one another. Point out their fault. Well, make sure you ain't got the same fault. You know, make sure all your ducks in a row. Point it out. Because you love him. You don't want him to fall behind. You don't want him to be part of the body, man. We are to promote the politics of Jesus Christ. We are to assist people to get into that body. That is our job. We are to be witnesses of evildoers. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. This part here, like, I'm just, every time I read this, I always just kind of question. He predestined us to adoption as sons to Christ Jesus to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. He predestined us. He predestined us. He predestined us. Think about that. That sends a shudder through me when I think about that. That's not an excuse to not do your job, but just saying. 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in his beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. What's the mystery of his will? Well, I explained it in a nutshell about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the multitude of nations, the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, formed a multitude of nations, a little bit was allowed to come back for Jesus. That's the mystery. That's the mystery. That's just the beginning, but that's the mystery. Not many people are preaching that. If you preach it, you're a psycho. And we're predestined. Ministration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, summoning up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. If God predestined us, then why do we not look at our brothers as predestined individuals? And why do we not look at ourselves as predestined individuals? And why do we not walk the walk that we're supposed to walk all the time? Why do we not hold ourselves to that standard? Why do we think other people are more important than the predestined people of the Son of God, chosen by God? We already read back in Ephesians or 1 Peter who the boss is. Who do we value people the way we should? We're hanging around a bunch of predestined people. We need to act like we're predestined. We need to treat our brethren like they are predestined, because if they know the truth and they know that ministry, they're predestined. I didn't make it up. It says it right there. You guys know. I'm not going to make this stuff up. Too scared to make up a bunch of other stuff. With the view and administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summoning up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things earth in him. We also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined, there it is again, according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. What's his will? Do we really, just after this today's service, just go back and read this about the predestined and just think. I'm not even doing what Paul is writing here, justice, of what he states. And how do we look at our fellow brothers? How do we treat ourselves? How do we treat the gift that God gave us of this predestination? I know there's a lot of preachers out there that don't preach predestination. I'm not preaching it. Paul's preaching it. If you got an issue with it, don't get mad at me. I didn't say it. I just want to be the catalyst to get everything set straight. Or do my part to be the catalyst to get everything set straight. Verse 12. To the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him also, after listening to the message of truth, which I kind of put in a nutshell earlier, this lesson, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, you can tell, you can go out and get the Abrahamic Covenant by E. Raymond Capp, all true, hand it out. People sit there and read it and be like, huh, neat. And now believe it. You got to believe it. That's the key ingredient. You have to believe it. If you believe it, I kind of think you're predestined, but maybe I'm wrong. Having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with the view of the redemption of God's own passion to the praise of his glory. For the reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all your saints. There it is again, that bond for our brothers. That needs to exist, and it needs to be strong. And it needs to be more important than other things in your life. I'm preaching to myself. This is kind of tough pill to swallow. Because I got some relationships out here in this world. You know, I got to tell you, if those people say something to me, I know that's the way it is. I also know Christians, if they say something to me, I wouldn't throw their word across the mud puddle. Wouldn't believe it. That's that. So Christian brothers, pay attention to what you say you're going to do. Pay attention to how you act yourself. When you conduct yourselves honorably, honor is given. If you when you conduct yourselves in a dishonorable way, or a way that honor isn't needed, it will not be handed to you. You have to act the act, walk the walk. I wouldn't even say talk the talk. Keep your mouth shut most of the time. But do not see. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. We need to love one another. Jesus' blood is thicker than family blood. Ooh, that's God's thing. Some of you. Does me. But it's. Turn with me to Acts. Now, this is one thing that we all must continue to have. This is a story that's pretty well known. I'm just going to read it quick. See, when you get more mature as a Christian, one of the qualities they have to have is you always got to be able to open, ask yourself this question on any topic. Am I wrong? Now, I know for a lot of you brilliant geniuses out there, this could come to a surprise to you. You probably are wrong. I don't know what else to say. It. A lot of stuff. I'm kind of being sarcastic, but yet I'm not. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18, start on verse 23. And having spent some time there, he left and passed through the Galatian region into strengthening all the disciples. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Andrian by birth, I don't know what that means, and man, came from Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. So this cat knew his word. Okay? And you can always tell somebody when you talk to them within 10 seconds if they know the word or what they're talking about. Or if they have the right foundation. I actually like to call it, I know people that know the Bible a lot, I like to do a foundation check. Well, what's your theology? So this guy's mighty in the word, in the scriptures. And at this time, he didn't have Judeo-Christian floating around. He had a lot of Phariseeism. I'm not really too familiar with their theology because I don't care. This man had been instructing in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He was speaking accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. So this guy didn't understand that Jesus had died, buried, was buried, and rose again. That is his fault. Everything else, he was tipped off. But his fault was he didn't know what had happened lately. He didn't have Google. He began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla heard him, they took him aside, explained to him the way of God more accurately. What did they do? They brought him up to speed. Now, what did this guy do? Did he say, oh, no, that's a bunch of crap? Oh, no, you know what you're talking about? No. He had a teachable spirit. He heard the truth. And what did he do? He changed how he operated. Be teachable. Always be listening. Your brother might be seeing things through a different lens than you. And he just might be right. Now, Priscilla and Aquila said this through what? Love. And it was received well. Are they having a big, you know, ego fest? That's not what it's about. It's about the will of God. Not about you, not about me, but the will of God. Period. Promote it. Verse 27. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly, who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrated by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So what the teachers say? They said, this dude's tip-top and he's up to speed. Unleash. And that's what they did. They saw a fellow brother that wasn't up to speed. They adjusted him a little bit, and let him go. And it was a good thing through love. And that's the way we need to look at each other. And that's the way we need to promote the body and our ministry, our beloved ministry. I'm going to end with that. Love and sisters in Christ. Love them like predestined individual, like the predestined individual. Christ, may he bless you and keep you, shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you. Thank you, Zach, for that message. Appreciate that. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of things that, you know, we need to be doing about things that are happening in this country. And I like how, you know, one of the things that he started off with is, you know, not putting your trust in the government. And I really believe that that's where we need to be at. We need to be putting our trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and continuing to pray for those that are authority. We're going to do things a little bit different for communion this morning. We're going to have a song, and Richard's pulling that one up right about now. We're going to have a song, and this title of that song is I Have Returned. And I would just want us to play this song, and as we've had some really good messages from Pastor Peters on communion the last couple of weeks, I want us to think about those messages and think about some of the tools and the weaponry that he gave us in those. You know, one of the things that he talked about several times was imagery. And I just want us to take a moment, close our eyes, and meditate and think about our Savior being on that cross, remembering our Savior on that cross as we're commanded to do so. And I think it's very important that we do come and, you know, that we come remembering that Son. And, you know, as we think about it, it's, you know, of our Savior being put upon that cross, about the blows and the beatings that he took for us. And, you know, there was only one that ever walked this earth that was without sin, and that was the one that took the beatings for us. And a lot of ways it feels, it is unfair and it's unjust, but there had to be. And he took that beating for each and every one of us. And every time that one of us in the body of Christ sins or gets out of line, it puts more beatings on our Savior. And it's a humbling thought, and I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that, pray about that, just meditate. Think about the things that in your life and this country, the things that I'm going to be thinking about and praying about, or, you know, I've been praying for churches and praying for the Spirit of the Lord. I know that the Scripture teaches very clearly that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's what we're all after, and that's what we're fighting for. We want this land to have the Spirit of the Lord in it once again, and I want us to be thinking about that and pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, praying that people wake up and turn back to him and his ways. And I know the Spirit of the Lord is working across this land. We can see it in effects, but now is the time that, you know, I keep thinking about the song, Rise Up, Daughter of Zion, and now is the time for Zion, that daughter of Zion, to rise up. We'll have that song now, Richard.
Do, 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 do. Same simple faith as a child I once knew. Like a prodigal, I long for my loved ones, for the comfort of home and the God I outgrew. I have returned to the God of my childhood, Bethlehem's faith, prophet's Messiah. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity, praise his name, I have returned. I have returned to the God of earth with unfailing faith for the child of her heart. She said, bring them up the way that you want them. Thank God when they're grown, they'll never depart. I have returned to the God of my mother. Jesus to me, eternal deity, praise his name. I have returned to the God of my father, the most godlike man a child could know. I just heard a shout. Return to the God of my Father, creator of heaven and earth, God of the universe, he's Jesus to me, eternal deity, praise his name. I have returned to the Jesus of Judah. Savior of all is a comfort to man. I have returned, Father of Abraham, the shepherd of Moses, who called him the great I am. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity, praise his name. Return to the father of Abraham, the shepherd of Moses, who called him the great I am. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. To me, I have returned. He's Jesus to me. I have returned.
Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we come before you, and we pray, Father, turn to you, and we pray, Father, that you continue to waken your people up and that they turn back to you. We pray for that to happen all across this land. Father, we put our trust in you first and foremost, and Lord, we just ask, Father, that you do a mighty work across this land. We pray for families to turn back to you. We pray, Father, for this land again. We pray, Father, for that liberty. As we partake today of the body and drink of your blood, Father, we thank you for the blood of Christ, and we thank you for the bonds that you've made with us as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus all across. We come out of obedience and partake on this first day of the week, and we thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. You may partake. Amen.